Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Houston Baptist Church Online, and happy Mother's Day. A couple of announcements this morning. Men's Bible study is happening on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on Zoom. If you want the link for that, contact Lance or myself. If you don't have our contact information, it's in the church directory as well as on the church website. The ladies are having a Bible study on Zoom on Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m., and if you want that information, you can contact Barb Barden. And youth, we are meeting on Zoom on Friday nights at 6:30 p.m. And the link and the information for that is going to be on the youth Facebook page. So please go and look there, and I hope to see you there on Friday nights. The scripture reading this morning is Psalm chapter 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that we have this technology and that even though we are apart physically, we can be united in spirit, in truth. Thank you, Lord, that we have this unity, that we have this technology, that we have the ability to still put your word out, to stay in touch with one another, and to have a semblance of fellowship. And God, I pray that you would be with Lance this morning as he brings your word. I pray that you would give him the words to speak, that you would give him clarity of speech, that he would stay true to your word, and that hearts would be prepared for the message that you've given him. Lord, that your word would go out, that your spirit would work, that encouragement and challenge, conviction, hope, all of these things that come from your word would be brought into the hearts and the lives of your people this morning. Thank you for the work of your word and your spirit. I pray you be with us the rest of today and bless this wonderful time as we focus particularly on mothers. Thank you for them. Thank you for their love and their diligence and their care. I pray that you would bless the mothers today. Give them an extra measure of grace, of joy, and of hope. We pray this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on Houston Baptist Online. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers as we honor and celebrate you today. I believe that at no time in recent history has the role of a mother been more important. The COVID-19 pandemic that has caused global confusion, shutdown of schools, daycares, and large sectors of our economy has resulted in most children being at home with one parent or both parents, for the most part unable to leave their homes. Parents are filling in as part-time teachers and helping their kids complete their school year. Many parents are spending way more time with their kids than they're used to. I've seen from personal experience and on social media a number of different reactions from parents. Some parents are loving the extra time with their kids, but hating having to be the teacher. They often feel underqualified and consequently overwhelmed. One mother I saw on social media said she was almost ready to kill all of her children, and that was like a week after schools shut down. Other parents I've seen are embracing the situation, teaching the kids their school curriculum, and then engaging in their lives for playtime, work time, and real-world learning time. In light of this, I wanted to take some time on this Mother's Day to look at what the Bible says about the role of mothers in their families. But first, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we praise you. We praise you because of your unending love for us, even when we disappoint you with our sin-filled lives. We praise you because your Son Jesus gave up his heavenly dwelling to come to earth as a baby, to grow up and live a sinless life, to go to the cross to die a horrific death to take away our sins, and then to be resurrected and ascend to heaven to sit at your right hand as our intercessor. And today, Father, we specifically praise you for mothers. Thank you for the precious gift of mothers who love us, nurture us, and teach us your ways. And Father, I just ask for a special blessing on mothers today. Father, let the words I speak today be your words. Remove from me any sense of this message being from me, and use it for your glory and your kingdom. Amen. A preacher from Florida by the name of Davin Huss tells this story. Some years ago, on a hot summer day in South Florida, a young boy decided to go for a swim in the old swimming hole behind his house. In a hurry to dive into the cool water, he ran out the back door, leaving behind shoes, socks, and shirt as he went. He dived into the water, not realizing as he swam toward the middle of the lake that an alligator was swimming toward the shore. His mother was in the house, and as she looked out the window, she saw the two getting closer and closer together. In sheer panic, she ran toward the water, yelling to her son as loudly as she could. Hearing her voice, the little boy became alarmed and made a U-turn to swim to his mother. It was too late. Just as he reached her, the alligator reached him. From the dock, the mother grabbed her little boy by the arms just as the alligator snatched his legs. What followed next was an incredible tug of war between an alligator that thought he had gotten a hold of an easy lunch and a desperate, terrified mother with an overflowing tank of love spiked with adrenaline. The alligator was way stronger than the mother, but the mother was much too passionate to let go. There was a farmer that happened to be driving by. He heard her screams, grabbed his gun from the back window of his truck, and raced to the scene. He took careful aim and shot the alligator and killed it. Remarkably, after many weeks in the hospital, the little boy survived. His legs were extremely scarred by the vicious attack of the animal, and on his arms were deep scars left behind where his mother's fingernails dug into his flesh in her effort to hang on to the son she loved. As we look through the Bible, we see that mothers, and I'm speaking today specifically of the role of mothers, have a number of important roles to play in the upbringing of their children. One thing we see is that mothers love their children. Seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? This love is sacrificial, though. It's unconditional, and this love is unending. In Isaiah 49:15, we read, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" Let me take you to a story that illustrates this point. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we read about two prostitutes from the same house who gave birth within a few days of each other. One of the women rolled over on her baby and killed it. She then switched her baby's body for the other woman's child. The other woman, as I think we would expect from a mother, recognized the switch and sought justice before the king of that day. As a matter of fact, this is the first ruling we see in the Bible from King Solomon. We pick up the story in verse 23. The king said, "This one says, 'My son is alive and your son is dead.' While that one says, 'No, your son is dead and mine is alive.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order. 'Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.' The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, 'Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him.' But the other said, 'Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two.' Then the king gave his ruling. 'Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother.'" What we see from this story is a mother's love is sacrificial and unconditional. The first mother was prepared to give up her son in order to see him live and perhaps get a chance to see him later. There's another example of unconditional and unending love I'd like to take a look at. In John 19, at the cross where Jesus would die, who do we know of Jesus' disciples and family that were there for sure? One of his family that we know was there was his mother, Mary. John 19:25 reads, "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." I think there's a lot of significance in Mary being at the cross. If we look at Mark 3, we find a story about Jesus' mother and brothers coming to visit him. When told in verse 32 that they were outside looking for him, Jesus asked the group with him, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" How would that feel to you, moms, to be publicly disowned by your son? And yet, here she is at the cross, showing unending and unconditional love. A second thing we see in the Bible is that mothers comfort and care for their children. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, we read, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." This verse of prophecy is comparing a mother's love for her child to God's enduring love for his people. We see an example of a caring mother in the book of Ruth. The Coles Notes version on this little book go like this. It documents the life of Naomi as she and her husband and two sons flee famine in Judah. Her two sons marry in the new country they settle in. Then she loses her husband, then her two sons. When she hears that life is back to normal in her hometown of Bethlehem, she heads back with her daughter-in-law Ruth in tow. When they return home, Ruth works hard and impresses a rich guy by the name of Boaz, who marries her. And they have a son together that, coincidentally, is the grandfather of King David. As we go through this story, we see in Naomi a mother who loved her sons and her daughter-in-laws, who cared for them throughout the story. Then right near the end of the book, in chapter 4, verse 13, as she's introduced to her grandson, it says, "Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him." Just a God-given, natural response to care for her grandson. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul is talking about his time in Thessalonica, where he says he and the apostles with him could have been a burden to the Thessalonians. But instead he says in verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her children." Mothers love their children. Mothers comfort and care for their children. A third thing we find in the Bible is that mothers protect their children. We saw this in the story I told at the beginning of this message. And in Exodus chapter 2, we find another story of a mother protecting her child. Chapter 1 of Exodus tells of the Israelites who had immigrated to Egypt on the invitation of the Pharaoh at the time of Joseph, becoming so numerous in their adopted country that another Pharaoh became intimidated by them and took measures to control their population by killing all the male children born to the Israelites. We pick up the story in chapter 2, verse 1. "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could find him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile." And the rest of the story tells us that this child was found by Pharaoh's daughter, adopted into Pharaoh's household, and many years and much trouble later, God would raise the man Moses up as the man to lead the Israelites out of slavery and into their own land. Interestingly enough, in a book written 1,500 years or so later, when you get to what is sometimes called the Bible Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, you find Moses listed as you would expect. But you also find this in verse 23. "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Moses' mother was willing to defy the law of the land and the wrath of Pharaoh to protect her son from being killed. Mothers love their children. Mothers comfort and care for their children. Mothers protect their children. And a fourth thing the Bible teaches us is that mothers, along with fathers, educate their children. Jared read part of Psalm 119 earlier that tells us how a young man or a young woman can keep their way pure. Mothers and fathers have an important role in teaching their children the concepts the psalmist is talking about. Proverbs 1:8 tells us, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Proverbs 31:1 reads, "The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him." Proverbs 31:26, talking about the wife of noble character, says, "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue." Last week, Pastor Jared spoke about his wife, April, memorizing scripture and memorizing the children's catechism in preparation for educating their twins. I love to hear that. My wife Shirley and I got off to a late start, as we were not believers until after we were parents. But even now, Shirley continues to learn and memorize scripture and how to apply it as she speaks into the lives of our grown children and our grandchildren. It is great to see a young couple like Jared and April working together, preparing to educate their children. But what if you're a single parent? Or what if you're a believer and your spouse is not? Life isn't always cut and dried, and yet the Bible shows how one of Paul's most trusted lieutenants was educated by his mother and grandmother. In Paul's second letter to this lieutenant, Timothy, we read in chapter 1, verse 5, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Jumping ahead to chapter 3, verse 15, Paul tells Timothy how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. These verses teach us that in the absence of a father, mothers will still do their best to educate their children. In today's society, we drift further and further into the post-Christian era. I believe it is becoming ever more important for parents to provide spiritual education to their children. Proverbs 22:6 tells us to start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And I believe that this is the desire of every godly mother's heart. This time of staying at home, of isolation with our families, has provided an opportunity to hit pause in our busy lives, to spend large amounts of time with our families, and I hope to reflect on what is really important to not only us, but the generation of kids who are currently in school. An opportunity for them to see life, to see their parents, even to see society in a different perspective. Mothers, have you taken this opportunity to show your children how much you love them? Have you spent time comforting and caring for them? You are protecting them by keeping them home. But are you also protecting them from the ungodly influences that sneak in over the airwaves and on cables that connect our homes to the world? And mothers, are you spending time educating your children? Not just tutoring them for assigned lessons from their schools, but educating them in the knowledge of the Bible and how to really dig into it. Knowledge of God and their Savior. So today we're celebrating mothers. It's a special day, and we'll give them flowers, candies, and cards, take them out for meals, or rather this year we'll order takeout in, and give them other gifts. But what can children do to honor their mothers year-round? If you've been in church long, you'll be familiar with the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Verse 12 reads, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the promised in the land the Lord your God is giving you, the promised land." Paul reinforces and expands this a little bit as he writes in Ephesians 6 at verses 1 to 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." John MacArthur writes on the difference between honor and obey. He says that obey has to do with action, with action, and honor has to do with attitude. The word honor means to value highly, to hold in the highest regard and respect, which leads to MacArthur's statement next that the right attitude behind the right act of obedience is honor. The Bible is pretty clear that children living under the roof of their parents are to obey them because it is the right thing to do according to God. Colossians 3:20 reads, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." So children honor their mothers by obeying them. But in order to obey their mothers, they must first listen to them. Proverbs 1:8 reads, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." This is repeated in Proverbs 6:20. "My son, keep your father's commands, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." So the steps to honor our mothers are pretty simple. Listen to them and obey them. Did you get that, kids? Listen and obey. If you can get those two simple steps straight, you can truly honor your mother year round, year in, and year out. And now, something that mothers do for their children, and that all children, and I think particularly grown children now, can do, and that is mothers pray for their children. And children should be praying for their mothers. We're instructed in Ephesians 6:18 to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Moms, you are the intercessor between your child and God until they're able to meet God themselves. You know, several weeks after the alligator incident that I talked about earlier, after the boy had been released from the hospital, a television reporter was interviewing him and asked the boy if he would show him his scars. The boy lifted his pant legs and showed the horrific scars left by the alligator's teeth. And then, holding up his arms, scarred by his mother's fingernails as she clung to him while the alligator thrashed in the water, the little boy, with obvious pride, said to the reporter, "But look at my arms! I have great scars on my arms, too. I have them because my mom wouldn't let go." Most of us have scars, too, don't we? Some of us have scars from a battlefield, from a workplace injury, maybe from a recreational event that went sideways, lots of other kinds of accidents that can cause physical scars. On the other hand, maybe we don't have physical scars, but we have emotional or psychological scars that are even more debilitating than the physical ones. But just like the young boy in the alligator illustration, those scars tell a story. They tell the world we survived. That young boy had an intercessor, a mother who would have given her life to save her little boy. And we too have an intercessor in the form of Jesus Christ, who came to earth to live as a human and die a horrific death, nailed by his hands and feet to a cross. An intercessor who did give his life in order to save us. We've survived because Jesus Christ would not let go of us. And we can be sure, if we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that he will never let go of us. The marks on our bodies, souls, and minds are temporary in light of eternity, as Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 4:17. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. If you don't have that assurance in your life today, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as your intercessor, then I would love to see you place your hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. If you want to know more, any of our pastors or elders would love to have a chat with you. You can find our contact info at www.houstonbaptist.ca/contacts. So moms, again, happy Mother's Day. And children, let's not just honor moms today. The love they have, the things they do all year long, should want to make you honor your mom every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you again for this opportunity to come to worship you. Thank you for the technology we have that allows us to get this message out to our people. Father, we just pray for mothers today. Pray that you would just bless mothers, that you would encourage the hearts of children to honor their mothers well today. But not just today, Father, that they would honor their mothers every day. And Father, we just pray that... you would be involved in our lives every day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to leave you today with Paul's prayer to the Philippian church in Philippians 1:9-11. "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Have a great Mother's Day and a really good week.